This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you. Glad to be with us. Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. All right, so if Chris Paul is going to beat you for 32 points, if you're Milwaukee, you might be able to survive that. If Devin Booker is going to add 27 to Chris Paul's 32, it's hard, but maybe you could survive that if your guys kind of give you some production. But if DeAndre Ayton goes 22-19 and Paul has 32 and Devin Booker is 27, you have zero chance of winning that basketball game. And that's exactly what happened last night. The three stars for the Phoenix Suns came out and played. And Milwaukee had its own star in Giannis Antetokounmpo. He did play. But never once was Milwaukee really in this basketball game. Once Phoenix got the lead in the first quarter, they never gave it up. And it never felt close. Even when it got to single digits, it never felt close. We're going to break down game one and tell you what is expected from Milwaukee now. If you have Giannis on 35 minutes and you're going to have him in this series, what now are you going to do if you're Mike Budenholzer? We'll also get into the match last night. It was a little fun. It was some trash talking. Aaron Rodgers said absolutely nothing, but we got a couple of things from news and notes from that match in Montana between Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady against Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers. And we'll even talk soccer as Euro 2020 is getting into the semifinals round, and Italy beat Spain yesterday using penalty kicks. So I've got to ask about penalty kicks because it's still one of the more perplexing things, even if it's very, very exciting. So we'll talk about that coming up as well. But we'll focus a lot of today on game one of the NBA Finals, and Phoenix now three wins away from their first NBA championship. But we've seen this before in Milwaukee's progression towards the finals, where they lose game one and everybody goes, I don't know how in the world they're going to win this series. Well, is there an opportunity for them to win this series? We'll break that down for you. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can do so at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, as we continue. But coming up next, Giannis coming in and playing in game one after being upgraded and upgraded and upgraded throughout the last 2 days. Well, what does Mike Budenholzer do now? We'll talk about that next as we continue with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so we've got to talk about Game 1 last night, NBA Finals, and what a show Chris Paul put on in his first ever NBA Finals. But get a $5 rebate by trading up any non-contact thermometer towards an Exergen purchased in any retailer. Accuracy matters, especially when it comes to checking for fever and keeping your family safe. Unlike non-contact thermometers, Exergen's accuracy is backed by published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Details at Exergen.com. So what a show last night, not only from Chris Paul. DeAndre Ayton came really close to a 20-20 last night, had 19 rebounds. Couldn't grab just one more. That would have been the first time we had seen a 20-20 in the NBA Finals since Shaq in, I think, 2004, if I'm not mistaken. But we had a great performance by the Suns. I mean, absolutely great. But as I said earlier, if you want to overreact to this because Phoenix looked incredibly well, then you're making a mistake because this is exactly where the Milwaukee Bucks were in their game against the Brooklyn Nets and in their game one against the Atlanta Hawks. They were not only down, but looked beaten and looked beatable and looked like it wouldn't be much of a series. I mean, Milwaukee in game two, when James Harden was out against Brooklyn, looked even more miserable, and they still found a way to win that series. This is not quite done. A series isn't over until the home team loses. And Milwaukee still has some games, and they can still produce a game two rebound. This is a matter of adjustments. This is what you do as a head coach. But If you're going to let the three guys on the Phoenix Suns that are the stars of the team each have great moments and great box scores, you're going to lose. There's no way around it. If Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker produce what they produced last night, you're never going to win a game in this series. This will be four quick games. And I don't care if Chris Middleton plays well and Giannis plays well and Drew Holiday chips in even more than 10 points than he had last night. You cannot let Phoenix get three outstanding nights from those three guys and expect to win the basketball game. Like I said, you can get Chris Paul. Chris Paul can score 40. You can still win a game if you contain Booker and you contain Ayton. You can still win that game. Maybe hard, but you can still win it. If Paul and Booker combined, let's say, for 68 points, you could still win that game. It'd be hard, but you can still win it. But if DeAndre Ayton goes for a double-double and a solid one at that, and those two guys, Paul and Booker, you're not going to win. It's not happening. Now, Giannis Antetokounmpo, that to see him play, I'll tell you, I didn't know what status he had. Like, it was changing all the time. It went from, I think, Monday. It was Monday. It was, he is definitely out at least the first two games of the finals. Okay, that was the report.
And maybe coming back game three.
Not even a guarantee that he was going to come back game three. This is how quick this changed. By Monday afternoon, it was, he was upgraded to game from game one to from doubtful to questionable, which still would give you an indication that he was out. Then there was early rumblings on Tuesday that he would play, but it was sort of downplayed a little bit. Like, it's possible he could play. He's making some progress. But I've been around the block many, many times when it comes to this. I thought it was a little bit of, yeah, Phoenix, Giannis might be out there. You will keep you guessing, knowing that he wasn't going to play. And then he played. Now, listen, there's 48 minutes in a basketball game. He played 35, so it's not like he ripped out 44 minutes of basketball. I mean, they were really checking him. And he seemed tentative at times, but he still had a 2017 night. So if you are Milwaukee, and it looks like Giannis is going to be available for the series, so this is not one of those things where he gives you 35 minutes, and then he says, look, I kind of hurt it a little more. It looks like he's fine. It looks like he'll be fine for the series. I mean, who knows? You have knee injuries. The thing about knee injuries is, and not only did I learn it with mine, but I've heard this many, many times in sports, it's easier to re-injure that knee, especially if you come back too soon. It's one of the reasons why, like, football players get knee injuries. They're really tentative to come back until it's really healed because it's easier to injure when it's hurt. It usually goes for a lot of body parts when you suffer a separated shoulder. It then becomes easier to separate. Same thing with knee injuries. A hyperextended knee is not a dislocated knee or any, you know, some more serious stuff. But Giannis got 35, right? Looked good, right? Looked pretty good. Oh, by the way, did you see at the free throw line how the Phoenix crowd was counting? I love that. That was fantastic. That was Durham-like when you talk about, like, the Dukies at Cameron. Giannis would get the ball, and they would just start counting and counting and counting. And he was like 7 for 12 from the free throw line. But if you're Mike Budenholzer, you're going to have to start making some better defensive decisions. They were terrible defensively. This is one of their bread and butter things that they're good at. They're a really good defensive team. But Chris Paul, no matter what they did, whether they were putting Bobby Portis on him or whether they were throwing a little PJ Tucker at him, it didn't matter. Chris Paul, like, he didn't score in the first quarter, but that was okay because Devin Booker did. Then he scored a lot of points in the second quarter. He just finds, like, it doesn't matter what you do. Like, it doesn't, like, if you're Chris Paul, whatever they sent him, he just found a way to be productive. He was either making assists or scoring himself, right? That is a problem for Milwaukee because you've got to find a defensive solution here. That's one of the, if you were leaning towards Milwaukee as a team that was going to win this series, a lot of it was because where is Giannis? How much is he going to play? And when he plays, how effective is he going to be? But the number two thing, or not even two, it's like 1B, was Milwaukee's defense. How good will Milwaukee's defense be against a Phoenix Suns team that has had to deal with series where primarily good defenders were out of the finals? That was one of the keys. And Mike Budenholzer really didn't have a very good defensive, and too much switching and all of that. It was just too much. It was, they didn't have any sort of answer to sort of contain those three guys on the Phoenix Suns. And when those guys are hot, you're done. You're done. This was like the final score was, it was a 13-point win. It felt like 30. It never felt like Milwaukee was playing a game in which they were being competitive. So congratulations to Phoenix. That place was rocking, and Chris Paul made most of his first ever finals appearance. He was great. He was great. DeAndre Ayton was fantastic. Boy, I love watching that kid play. And Michael Bridges had like 14 points as well. And you know, Cameron Johnson and Cameron Payne each had double figures coming off the bench. I mean, it was a good effort.
Yeah, but it went pretty much as we expected, right?
Well, it didn't when Giannis was in the game.
Right.
I did when I saw Giannis in the game, my thoughts of where game one was going to go changed. I thought Milwaukee could win the game if Giannis was effective. But once Phoenix got the lead and they didn't have any answers, I was like, this is where it's heading. Like there was no feeling that Phoenix was not in control of that game, that they were losing control of that game, or Milwaukee, even when Milwaukee made a little push and cut the lead to single digits. It didn't feel like Phoenix was really in any jeopardy. But yeah, you're right from the standpoint of Milwaukee hasn't played very good in game ones in their series. There was a tight game against Miami before they blew them out of the water, right? They had a tight game in game one against Miami, and then they just crushed them. But they lost game one against Brooklyn, they lost game one against Atlanta, and looked bad doing it. So much so that you didn't predict them to win the series. Look at game one against Atlanta. Milwaukee was the favored team going into that. They weren't favored against Brooklyn, but they were favored against Atlanta. People were jumping on top of the Hawks bandwagon after game one because Milwaukee didn't look very good. But once Giannis was in the game, I thought, well, all right. But if he had not played, I was absolutely certain Phoenix was going to win that game, and they did. But Giannis was effective only to a point. I mean, he didn't game change it. But I mean, Budenholzer has been slow to make adjustments. That has been the criticism. But he's done a pretty good job so far. Let's see if he can do it in game two. Otherwise, this will be a short series. And I don't really want it to be a short series. I like this July sports calendar. It's kind of full.
Now I'm question. The biggest question now for me is just to see what Giannis can do game two.
Now, yeah, how many more minutes is he going to play, et cetera?
Yeah. I mean, how painful is his knee today? How much is that going to hinder him?
We always say this about quarterbacks, right? What percentage of your starter is better than 100% of your backup?
Right.
And in Giannis's case, what if these 35 minutes give you a lesser Giannis in game two than you got in game one?
Right.
Like, what if he's like,
it's a risk.
Coach, you don't know this, but man, that hurt, and it's hurting now really bad. The injury got a little worse playing these 35 minutes, and he's less effective in game two. How much does Mike Budenholzer go, well, okay, yeah, it's cool when I put Bobby Portis in the starting lineup, but that's not really what I want to do. How much of Giannis out there on the court, even in decoy situations or you just got to account for him, that kind of thing, is still better than benching him and putting in Bobby Portis and letting Bryn Forbes have more minutes or whoever,
yeah,
right?
Run out a mass unit of players.
Right, exactly. Like what do you do, right? Like, what do you do if you're Mike Budenholzer? You are constantly on this, and maybe it's getting better by the day, right? Maybe it's every day just it's improvement, and he didn't really feel any discomfort after 35 minutes, and he'll be fine in game two. Who knows? But if you're Budenholzer, these are major decisions, because how much is he hurting you if he's out there and the injury's worse? Because we know what he can do when he's healthy. Like, we know what he can do. Even if he's at 90%, he's still a great option.
I mean, what if you, I don't know. I mean, I don't think this would be ever would happen, but if you were to rest him in game two and just say, you know what, I mean, just see how the game goes, is, you know, take him out. Maybe it's in the, you know, maybe you start him in the first half and then you see how the game's going. It's like, oh, you know what, forget it. Let's just rest him for the rest of this game and hope and make a strong push when the series goes back home.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you maybe get the crowd energized. I mean, you have that going on. I don't know. There's so many just variables that, you know, Budenholzer, I can see him messing up.
Yeah, he better be careful. He better be careful. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue. All right, did Aaron Rodgers say really anything at the match yesterday when asked about the Packers situation? And what exactly did the guys say to each other? We'll talk about that next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Superstart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts are designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today, and their professional parts people can help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'Reillyauto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So yesterday, not only was the NBA Finals, but it was a fun little golf match. Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau pairing up with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers for a little fun, a little trash talk, raise some money for charity. Beautiful big sky country. All right, so you want to talk to Phil about the PGA Championship. Maybe you want to talk to Tom about winning another Super Bowl and how fun that was. And maybe Bryson on some latest physics formula to determine wind velocity and how it affects chipping. I don't know. But most people wanted to know about Aaron Rodgers and whether or not he's going to be under center for the Packers in week one. So they asked him, and here was his reply.
Packers, Bears, any idea who's going to be there? Anybody who's going to be quarterbacking in the number 12 jersey?
Yeah, I don't know, BA. We'll see.
How about September 12th then? How will you go for that one?
What's that one?
That would be the opener against the Saints.
Oh.
All cheesers rejoice.
Yeah, I don't know, BA. We'll see.
Okay.
I know you're a Milwaukee guy.
I know. Aaron, everybody is on their toes. They want to know, man. They want to know.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm just having a good time out here with Tom. I'm trying to talk to him about it. He's going to keep playing or not, you know?
Hey, Aaron, we go way back. You can just tell me. I'll keep it a secret. Hey, I promise I will not put it anywhere.
Charles, I'll tell you this week in Tahoe.
First of all, are you disappointed? Big question. Are you disappointed in Aaron Rodgers that he didn't have a better answer knowing it was coming?
Yes.
Like his people could have said, all right, Aaron, here's the deal. They're going to ask you about this. You know, that's going to ask you when they do.
Does he have people?
I gotta think he does.
I mean,
right?
You would assume, right? But
yeah.
Every time he comes on air, it feels like he doesn't have people.
Right. Like, and look, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he should have a scripted, cliched answer. I mean, like a quip, a funny joke, something where somebody's like, hey, when they ask you this, say this funny thing rather than, I don't know, BA, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I'll tell you in Tahoe. I'm just out here playing some golf with some people.
Just having a good time.
Like, I would have said, all right, because, like, come on, he knew it was coming. Like, they were going to ask him that. Of course they were. Like, anytime he's getting near a microphone, he's going to be asked that. So, there was a lot of trash talking. I didn't get to see much of this. I wasn't that interested in
this. No, I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch. My involvement with the match was checking it out on Twitter.
Yeah, I just didn't really. I mean, I saw on Twitter the golf ball that Tom Brady has, where he's got all the Super Bowls on it. That was cool. That was neat.
That was nice.
Yeah, and you know, Bryson, I guess, hit it in the woods, and Phil joked that he shouldn't be outdriven by a 51-year-old guy. I mean, that's awesome that you know.
But see, Phil, a lot of it, the trash talking that we're here is golf trash talk, which doesn't really translate that well.
No, not really.
You know, especially when it's delivered by, like, you know, older guys, and you're like, I see, maybe that's funny, but not really.
You know what bothers me watching Phil play now? The number one thing that bothers me, actually, it makes me kind of ticked.
is when I watch Phil play, he's so in shape at his age.
What happened to just the reasoning why he wore all black?
Yeah, like what happened to Hefty Lefty? It made me feel better. Like I'd be like, yeah, he likes a good buffet like I do, right? And then he's like, no, I'm intermittent fasting and I'm drinking coffee all the time. And look at me, I'm like limber and I can I'm taking Pilates and yoga and I'm slim and I'm strong. And I'm like, oh man, I got a lot of work to do. Oh man, he's not one of us anymore. He actually is turning into an athlete.
Yeah.
He's in great shape.
I mean, we were fine when he was working out the calves. We're like, you know what?
Right, hey, that's fine.
You know, we all can work out our calves. It's like, at our age, the most useless muscle we have.
Right. Like Bryson's bulk it's like weird to see on a golfer, right? You probably shouldn't really be built like that. If you want to have a long-term career playing professional golf, like that's probably going to bite you down the road swinging that fast. Like your body's just not built to do that. It's like, you know what they used to say about pitching? They say like your body really isn't built for pitching a baseball the way you do. That's why you have Tommy John surgeries all over the place and whatnot. But it's like golf. Golf is the same thing. It's like your body really isn't built to contort and twist and stuff. And that's why golfers have back injuries. But it feels like Bryson is in for a major, like Tiger Woods type physical breakdown. Remember when Tiger was all beat up and injured and all the back surgeries and all of that before the accident? And a lot of it, they contributed to this Navy SEAL like training he was doing, where your body was building muscle on a body that should have more like fast twitch muscles. But Phil is the opposite. Phil never looked good until he got older and was like, I got to look better than this. Like, I got to cut it out. Like, I'm eating burgers and fries and I'm eating junk food. I got to stop. And once he stopped, and then he had the arthritis problem, remember? And one of the stories that he told was when he went to the doctor, he went to some nutritionalist and some doctors, and they said, hey, listen, if you kind of incorporate a little bit of this into your diet, it might help the arthritis that you have. And so somebody blended it into a coffee for him, and that's what he has. That's the thing he gets and drinks, and he's been fine. And now he's in super shape. So, but let's go back to 2020. It was like May of 2020 when Phil and Brady and Peyton and Tiger were all playing in that match, right? Back down in Florida. Just kind of who would have thought that the team of Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson would go into 2021 champions of their sport?
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, and the thing I struggle with was the match last year felt like rivals.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah, Phil and Tiger. I mean, it's a long-standing rivalry. Brady and Peyton, Brady and Manny, come on. I mean,
it's one of the best rivalries in all sports.
There's books written just about their rival. And this one, it was just hard to get around. It's like, okay, what's the Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau connection? I can kind of guess Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, but not really.
Not really, because they don't play in the same division. Just now play in the same conference.
I mean, is it just because
they never met in a Super Bowl? I mean,
yeah, I just didn't feel there was that connection. I mean, like last year it was fun. I mean, obviously, and honestly too, last year we needed it. I mean, that was like the first real sporting event we had.
Right.
We got.
Yeah.
I mean, if we consider take the Last Dance out of the first sporting event we got.
And it got good numbers because of that, right?
I mean,
because we were kind of all looking for something, it got really good numbers. I think you're right. I think this lacked that sort of relationship between, like, you want the relationship between the football players and then the relationship between the golfers. There's an extra layer to that. There isn't between Phil and Bryson. There isn't between Brady and Aaron Rodgers. There isn't. Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, yep, there are multiple layers to that. Tiger and Phil, multiple layers to that. This was just, let's grab this popular talker and this popular football player and this other football player and the guy that's making noise because he hits it a mile because, you know, he's spent a lot of time at the gym, right? I mean, they're all champions. They've all won championships in their sport, but it didn't feel like it came together. All right, coming up next, we'll talk a little soccer as well as go back to the NBA Finals as we continue.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. We'll get more into Game 1 of the NBA Finals last night. But yesterday, I actually watched soccer. I watched Euro 2020.
Good on ya.
I did. I watched Italy against Spain.
Yes, you did.
I was very excited for Italy. But I got to be honest with you, and I see this every time I get these World Cup or these tournaments where I get kind of excited, and then the penalty kicks occur. I go, this is great. And then I watch it and I go, I don't know if this is how I'd want to decide a game, though.
You know what I mean? You're not alone in that thinking.
So it's like a double-edged sword. I love it. It's exciting. The anticipation is thrilling. But then when it's all said and done, I'm like, I feel like we're cheated at it. Like somehow this was not really supposed to be the way we were deciding a match. But you being more of the soccer guy, we see it in hockey, right? In hockey, they have these shootouts, right? In the regular season, they're like, yeah, we're done. Let's just have a shootout here and go home. And it's kind of cool. In fact, if you go to a regular season hockey game, you almost kind of pull for it. Like, there have been plenty of Predators games my wife and I have gone to with the kids where we're like, yeah, let's end this thing in a tie. Let's have some fun with the shootout. That's kind of neat. Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's a regular season. It's a Tuesday, you know, in January. What the heck? Why not? But when we get to the postseason, you're there forever. You're there until somebody scores. You're not going to decide a game in a shootout. Now, obviously, these are two totally different sports where line changes and things like that. But in soccer, is there just a worry that they'll play for 5 days if there's no sort of way to end it if you go into overtime?
That's a great question. I don't think they're worried about that. I think they're worried about, you know.
So why do they do it?
Because you've been on the field for 2 hours already running around. And I think it's, you know, as time goes on, your muscles are going to start to cramp. You're going to start, you know, injuries could happen. And I just think, I mean, it's, you know, just the way, I mean, it's kind of history. You know, they've been doing it this way for 100 years.
That's true. I mean, Italy in 1994, Baggio hit the post.
Oh, man, that was brought up all over the place yesterday.
Exactly.
When he skied it over the crossbar.
I remember how horrible that was.
You know, the thing you have to consider, too, is, you know, for a country like Spain, this was their third straight game going into extra time.
Oh, see, yeah.
So you have a lot of tired legs already. So
this is why they get paid big bucks, though.
That's why they get paid big bucks.
Let's not coddle them.
But I mean, it's, you know, they changed the rules a couple of years ago. It used to be sudden death, extra time. And then if it was still tied after the extra period, then they would go into penalties. Now it's not sudden death.
So they play it.
They play two halves regardless.
Okay. That seems fair.
Yeah.
Sudden death is exciting too, but it can be fluky, right? I mean,
that was the problem. Like, yeah. you literally could end it on an own goal.
Yeah. And it wasn't
you don't want to end it that way.
No, you don't want that. But it was, I thought it was really exciting.
Yeah.
Now, why is it called Euro 2020? Why not Euro 2021?
I don't know that. Because it was supposed to happen last year.
Oh, okay. So why pay for new logo designs, right?
I think that has to be it, right?
We printed out all this fun stuff. We might as well use it.
Yeah. They always happen in an even number of years, every 4 years. So the next one will actually be in 2024.
So, like, how does this work with the World Cup? Is it, like, every 2 years something like this is happening?
Yes.
Like, it's World Cup and then Euro Cup 2 years later and then World Cup again? And
yep.
I gotcha. Okay.
And that's why you have, like, South America is having their big tournament right now. That final has been decided. It's going to be Brazil versus Argentina. No surprise. And so that'll be, I guess you got a final of that on Saturday. You got the Euro final on Sunday. So there's a lot of soccer coming up on the calendar.
Very cool.
Stay tuned.
I like the penalty kicks. Don't get me wrong. I like the penalty kicks. And I know we talked about this once before. This was 4-2, right? Italy won the penalty kick 4-2. So it wasn't like they scored every time. But it doesn't.
In fact, when it started off, both teams missed the first one.
Yeah. But it doesn't. I don't know how to put this. It doesn't feel like it's athletic versus athletic. It feels like it's brain versus brain.
Pretty much.
That like me, if I'm a professional footballer, me kicking it into the goal, like if there's an open spot, is going to happen. My job is to make sure I guess where the open spot is going to be. Right? Like,
if you're,
it's not pulling off the athletic feat. It's mentally beating my opponent mentally.
Yeah, basically.
You're going to lean left. I'm going to go right. But if I think you're going to lean right, I'll go left. It's kind of like the guy in Princess Bride.
Right.
Right, with the poison in the glass.
Fezzi?
It becomes a battle
Fezzi
of wits.
Or whatever his name was.
Yeah, right?
No, exactly. I mean, in the penalty shootout, all the pressure is on the kicker. Because they should. There's 12 yards, just, you know, 1v1. The goalie cannot move off his line until the person kicks the ball. Until the ball is touched, technically.
Right.
Right. Now, he can move back and forth on the line. You saw a Spain goalkeeper doing that constantly, where he's just kind of going to the left side, right side, like, which way you want to go? Let me try to psych you out and, you know, make you think you're going this way, because that's the way I'm going to go. So for the keeper, it's totally a guess. He's going to guess left. He's going to guess right. That's why, you know, if you watched that game yesterday, the final penalty kick, the guy just kind of pushed it in. I mean, he didn't even kick it. It's because he did the little hop right before he kicked. He saw which way the keeper was leaning by doing that and was able to just slot it that way because the keeper had already committed to the opposite side.
And the keeper even clapped. Just said,
yeah,
you got me. That's it.
And it is. It's chess, basically.
I can't imagine being a goalie in that sport when you go into penalty. Like, that would be the last place I'd want to be. But in the same time, you could be a superstar if you make saves.
Yeah, like the Italian goalkeeper. I mean, he saved the one before the final kick.
But just standing there going, oh, my God.
I mean,
what am I going to do?
All you ever tell keepers to do is like, hey, you know, just make yourself look big. And that's all you can do.
Just get
your arms out wide as you can, and just make yourself look big, that psychologically they feel that, okay, you know, this guy's covering up all the goal. I can't. Where am I going to put this?
Well, you know, you're right about the penalty kicks. They've been around forever. I mean, Brandi Chastain's famous penalty kick won it for the women in 99. So it's part of the sport. It's just, I've never gotten over watching it. I never feel like it gives you the ending of a fan. Like, you watch a whole match and then they go, yeah, this is how we're doing this. Like, you feel like 100+ minutes. And it all comes down to this, like a whole different game.
I would say 90+% of the soccer pundits out there would all say the same thing. It's a terrible way to end the game, but you got to find a way to end it.
You do have to find a way to end it. You're right.
You know, because the ball too? It's got to move on.
I don't know how you would do it any other way. There's no other way you could do it. Like in the NHL with. Tried to do like 4-on-4, 3-on-3, right?
Yeah,
there's been
experiments along the way. MLS did this a couple of years ago where they did like a hockey style shootout.
Yeah.
Where the guy dribbled it, you know, he got the ball at midfield and then dribbled it down, or, you know, somewhere around that area, and then dribbled it towards the goal. So it was a true 1-on-1 where the goalkeeper was able to come out of his box and, you know, try to make a play. It just looked unnatural. It didn't really have any legs to it. I remember playing in a tournament years ago. We never got a chance to do this, but it was called the California Shootout. I don't know if that was the technical name for it, but that's what it was called. And basically it was, hey, you know, you played this whole game 11-on-11, right? We're in extra time. Now it's going to be 9-9. Now it's going to be 7-7, no goalies. Now it's 5-5 after, you know, like 3 to 5 minutes of play. We're going to keep taking players away. It's almost like musical chairs. They take players away. That didn't really seem fair because the game that I was watching ended up being 1v1 on an entire soccer field.
And you're like, really gimmicky.
Yeah. And I could see why that. But so, I mean, they're open to suggestions. I guarantee that. There's just no surefire way of finding a way to end the game where it's fair. The advantage belongs to both people.
Got
both
it.
Teams.
Right. So England and Denmark today?
Denmark today.
Right. Is Denmark good?
Denmark is good. They're ranked 10th in the world.
All
England's
right,
ranked fourth in the world.
All right.
Denmark obviously is playing with I wouldn't say it's a chip, because you don't really want to call it
Well, you might as
chip.
Well say it.
I don't know what to call it, because if you all remember Denmark, that's Christian Eriksen's team, who was the guy who had a heart attack on the field.
Oh right, yeah.
And Denmark is they're playing amazing soccer right now and are pretty much like carrying the spirit of Christian Eriksen, even though he's not dead, but carrying is carrying.
Yeah,
his,
yeah, that's yeah. Be careful! Don't say carrying the spirit. That does imply that he's dead.
No, but you know what I'm trying to say. I mean, just they're playing incredible. So it's one of those situations for me. It's like, you know, I kind of tend to pull for England just because, you know, I know most of the players watch the EPL all the time. But I wouldn't be upset if Denmark won this game and then won the whole thing.
That'd be cool.
It'd be a great ending to the Disney story that is developing here.
Yeah, everything's a Disney story with you. Every sports story is a Disney story.
Well, because they produce all of them, right?
Kinda, yeah. You got to understand,
all those feel-good movies.
You got to understand, when I think of Disney stories, the problem is with the Disney stories is that
Dad dies.
There's always like a real tragedy, and there's a talking dog or some animal or something else. It's
That's the tragedy here. I mean, he had a heart attack on the field during the first game.
But he didn't die from it.
He didn't die, but Denmark ended up losing the first two games because they were out of sorts. And then
if he died, it would be a complete Disney movie. He's not dead.
No, not everyone has to die. Remember Mighty Ducks? He was just an alcoholic.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And he fought his way back. He found his love for the game again.
Yeah, that's true. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, coming up, more thoughts on Game 1 of the NBA Finals as we continue. Eric Edholm will join us Hour 2. We'll talk some NFL, because training camp's coming up at the end of the week. End of the month. What, 3 weeks? We're going to have training camp. We'll talk to Eric Edholm about that in Hour 2 as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Wake Up Call, this hour of Wake Up Call, I should say, is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. You know, what I liked about last night's Game 1 was Chris Paul, well, let's be honest, almost everybody in the two teams, everybody on the roster of both teams, nobody has won a championship. But I know a lot of emphasis is on Chris Paul, right? He's 36, surefire Hall of Famer. This is sort of the last piece of a puzzle for the completion of his career. And, you know, you always wonder when you get to a championship opening, right? It's not so much Game 3, because by that time sort of the newness wears off a little bit. You're kind of rolling into these games.
You're in the series.
You're in the series, right? But it is always like the Game 1, or you know, whether it's a Major League Baseball World Series or it's the Stanley Cup Finals or NBA, whatever it is. Even in the Super Bowl, but Super Bowl is different because it's a one-game shot, so you better be on your game. But anytime you have an athlete who's accomplished so much and then they finally get to the big stage, you go, how is he going to play, right? Was there thought about Giannis? Not really, because I think most people didn't think, well, how is Giannis going to feel in his first – I think they were just, hey, listen, how is he going to look at all? Hyperextended knee and all of that. But we don't do that with like Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton. We don't do that with Chris Middleton. We don't do that with the younger guys. But we do it with a consummate pro who's been in the league, had his own issues, you know, just finally getting to this point. How will they look? You know, if you're a Major League Baseball player, played 15 years and you're finally making it to Game 1 of the World Series, or you're finally making it to the Stanley Cup Finals after 13 years playing in the league. And Chris Paul answered every question perfectly. Like, again, his role in the first quarter was to give up, you know, to concede to Devin Booker at the hot hand and then take it in the second quarter. Like, that's how the game progressed for him. He was brilliant in his opening game. By the way, I don't really know if I like the uniforms. The uniforms of the Suns looked really good last night, but I'm a traditionalist. I hate to say this because it makes me sound like I'm old, but I like traditional logos and jerseys. I know that people gobble this stuff up on the internet and they will order thousands and millions of these especially if they win. But I like, you know, you have a logo for a reason. I want to see it on your uniform. like a beautiful sort of multicolored sunset with the mountains in the, you know, the desert look. That's beautiful. But where is the basketball screeching sun that's heading in the sky? Where's that? That's what you're known for. But it was really nice. But it was good to see Chris Paul play really well. But again, this series is not, don't overreact to this. I'm cautioning people. This is what happened to Milwaukee the last two series. Be careful. They lost their first two games, looked bad doing it, but they rebounded. I'm going to tell you something. I still have no idea how they won that series against Brooklyn. I have no clue how they pulled that off. It still amazes me that they've advanced this far. Simply because I just never saw them as a team that could bounce back in a series like remember that series against Brooklyn? And this is two series ago. They lost the first two games and I was ripping them to pieces because that game two was wide open for them with James Harden being out and they didn't take advantage of it. And then in game three, they went back to 1990s basketball. Like it set the league back 30 years. And that's the only way they won that game. And so they're down 2-1 after three. And the one game they won, they just bogged everything down into the mud. And you're thinking, there's no way they're pulling this off. James Harden comes back, and they found a way to pull it off. So don't bury the Bucks just yet after one game. Wake Up Call continuing hour two. Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports will join us. We'll also have the good, the bad, and the dumb. Don't want to miss that as we continue.